This episode of The Loyal Son Show is brought to you by Rendine Consulting. If you've listened to us for any amount of time, you know all about Rendine Consulting's commitment to the Pitt Athletics program and brand, and how much they've meant to the Loyal Sons. That's Rendine Consulting, providing investment managers' assistance with technology integration. Visit www.rendineconsulting.com for more information. That's www.rendineconsulting.com. Hello and welcome back to the Loyal Son Show. That's at the Loyal Sons on Twitter. Follow us there and follow us here for Pitt sports content you won't want to miss. If you love favorable preseason polls and hate fake injury reports, this is the place for you. The Loyal Son Show, a safe, sunshiny place for your Pitt athletics fix. Brought to you by Pittsburgh Sports Now. Today is Wednesday, August 10th, and Keaton Slovis is okay, everybody. He is okay.
Did that cut it off the field?
That almost ruined your vacation?
Yeah. So if you're watching this, you can see the beautiful Atlantic coast behind me, fitting for a Pitt podcast to be coming to you live from the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah, no, I was in the middle of a 9-hour drive down to North Carolina, where I am right now, when I saw our text message chain blow up about the possibility of Keaton Slovis blowing out his hip. And I was white knuckling for like a full couple hours. And I thought I was going to wrap us around a guardrail, because I thought Pitt season, at least in terms of the expectations that we have been setting for ourselves, was effectively over. So thank God it was just Pitt fans being neurotic and terrible.
I kind of was late to the party, catching up on the group chat, seeing all the talk about Slovis got hurt. So I kind of read it in reverse order. So the first thing I saw was like, yeah, it's not that serious. So I didn't have too much of a heart attack.
Wow, lucky for you.
Yeah, I got pretty lucky. But The thing that kind of comforted me was the first thought I had was, wow, I'm really glad we still have Patty. To have that type of confidence in your backup and that safety cushion in case, you know, Keaton does take a tough hit this year, has to go out of the game. We know we got number 12 coming in right behind him.
Yeah, my first thought was to open the Barstool or FanDuel Sportsbook and place a future on Nick Patty to win the Heisman. Probably got great odds at that point. Wasn't on there, but before you knew it, those were dispelled. And say, listen, folks, I'm not even sure he's carted off. I'm not even sure he's hurt. This might be a Sean Miller situation. So here we are.
I like how one of our buddies said the most likely scenario was he was probably just on the other side of the field and the cart was right there. So he just got in it. And that turned into he was carted off the field. But he probably just took a little ride with the team doctor.
Yeah. Mike Vukovkan, our boss, he put out an article. I think he interviewed Narduzzi or someone interviewed Narduzzi. Either way, Narduzzi said that it was just back spasms. And allegedly, you know, Slovis is, you know, they're just going to take it easy on him, but he's going to effectively be back in practice immediately. But that was just back spasms. I don't know if there was actually a cart involved. If there is a cart available and our star in the future of our program is banged up, I am not upset about them throwing him on there, you know, just for safety. But yeah, our season flashed before our eyes, and it felt very much like I feel so terrible and cynical saying this. It just felt like classic Pitt, that our expectations were so high, most talented roster we've had in years, highest expectations we've had in years, that our stud transfer quarterback would go down with like a Bo Jackson injury, you know, the second week of camp before they could even do full pads. So thank Christ he is all right. And thank Christ for Nick Patty. We don't even know who's starting next year. Air quotes, but to have two quarterbacks you can be so blindly confident in as we are. Very fortunate.
I'll never forget. I was actually on vacation when this happened. Was this 4 years ago now? Rashad Weaver had that season-ending injury in camp. I remember we were driving to the beach. I was in the back seat of my uncle's car, and everyone was all excited because we're going to the beach. And I just refreshed Twitter to see that Pitt's star defensive end was out for the year, and I was just sad by myself for a couple hours. So thankfully, that didn't happen to you, David, because that was not fun.
No, could you imagine a 9-hour car ride thinking the only thing that you've been looking forward to for 9 months was taken away from you? I was legitimately going to pull over and make another passenger in the car take the wheel because I was distraught. I was beside myself. There was nothing that could console me. I was inconsolable, you might even say.
That's borderline turn the car around and go home territory.
Family vacation is over. But no, it's now I am here in such a beautiful place, as you can see behind me, without any fears about Keaton Slovis. And let me I know no one that is listening cares about the Haddad family vacation. However, driving through Virginia and North Carolina and getting to rock ACC champs gear, unbelievable feeling. I feel like I am the king of this place. No one can tell me shit. I met a Virginia Tech fan in a gas station, and he basically like acknowledged that he had to kiss the ring. Like, yeah, you guys got us good this year. You know, I'm hopeful about Brent Pry, but you know, that's a hell of a team you guys got. And I was like, yeah, I fucking know.
Yeah, I know. Yep. We're way better than you.
I remember we were at Myrtle Beach. It was the year after Pitt beat Clemson, and it was a bunch of our buddies. We crossed paths with this middle-aged man in a Clemson hat, and we just started sharpening on, like, sarcastically, because they just won the national championship. He was on cloud nine, but we're like, no, we beat you. You're so upset about that. Pitt's better than you, all this and that. But it was funny because he did have some respect for Pitt.
Clemson fans consistently show Pitt the most respect. Out of all the teams in the ACC, the team who's dominated the ACC the most, their fans love to give Pitt their props.
Yeah. I feel like we're at the point now where nobody is that friendly with us because they think we're overrated. We got lucky 1 year, and now they're all out to get us. So I think the days of being, oh, that scrappy Pitt team is now turning into, I hate Pat Narduzzi and this team. We are better than them.
The Pitt Panther juggernaut. Year.
Yeah.
The buzzsaw in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Narduzzi doesn't gain you many friends either. Narduzzi's not doing his, like, really kissing any butt anywhere. He's actually doing the exact opposite, so.
Yeah, word on the street is he's no charmer, according to an anonymous ACC assistant coach. But, yeah, being
able Jeff to Collins. Just...
an anonymous, soon-to-be unemployed ACC head coach. Being able to kind of talk shit so freely is very cool. Pitt fans, try it out. Drive anywhere in Appalachia, the East Coast. Just drive up and down the East Coast and talk shit to whoever you want, and there's nothing they can do until, you know, something goes wrong this season, which it won't because we're the best team in the world. But mm-hmm. All it had me thinking was, now imagine if we did do something crazy, like, I don't know, win the national championship this year. We could go anywhere in America and talk all the shit we want. We could have this feeling in states that aren't Virginia and North Carolina and, you know, other ones.
My wardrobe is already majority Pitt gear. I can't imagine I would go anywhere without rocking some type of Pitt apparel. I would be obnoxious. One game at a time, though. West Virginia, West Virginia, West Virginia. Akron, Akron, Akron.
Yeah, as if the West Virginia game has left our brains for even a second. This game is already getting very chippy online. You know, I don't know if all of our listeners are constantly on Twitter. If you are not, congratulations on your, like, functional brain and generally positive outlook on life. But we are constantly on Twitter, and it is already a war path. We are a month out, and shit has gotten violent.
I don't know if it's actually gotten violent, but
verbally.
Yeah. there are some West Virginia fans that are just so insufferable and dumb. You can't just put the phone down. I responded to one or two guys because they put a response on a tee, and we just like, yeah, see you later, get out of our mentions. And they keep coming back with dumber and dumber insults. It doesn't make sense. I don't know what to do.
It's actually painful at times because I want to have some good banter back and forth, but some of the replies are just so stupid. It's like, it's not even funny. It's like, playing video games against your 4-year-old cousin. And it's like, I would actually like if you were good at this game so we can have some fun here. But instead, you're just scoring every play, running punt block against his Hail Mary offense.
There were guys saying that we got lucky we faced a weak Wake Forest team and that they'll be in us this year. And they're making fun of us for losing to Western Michigan, which is a game we don't talk about, but I just talked about it. And I'm like, okay, we lost to them, but they probably beat you by 28. Do you realize what your record was? You're in no position to be saying the stuff you're saying.
What I'm really loving about the Twitter discourse with Mountaineer fans is that you don't even have to talk about the game. All you have to do is say that Take Me Home Country Roads is about the western part of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think geographically it would make a little bit more sense based on some of the landmarks. I don't even necessarily believe that's true. But if you just say it, they get so worked up. They forget about the game in general. Like they need to stake their claim and defend their John Denver song. And it's great because, and I'm not trying to get political with this, but it's kind of like the John Fetterman, Dr. Oz race, where Fetterman just keeps saying like, yeah, you're from New Jersey, right? New Jersey guy, Dr. Oz. And they've just completely abandoned talking about like policy or like, I'm good at this and you're bad at this. And it's just like this fight over if he lives in New Jersey or not. And that is what the online backyard brawl discourse has become. Like we don't even have to mention the fact that Pitt is objectively a more talented roster or a program in a better place. And we just talk about like, hey, that song you like, it's not even about you.
There's three things the West Virginia fans care about. One, country roads. Two, attendance. And then three, by like a wide margin, is like how good their football team is, because apparently they think they're good every year. I've had people trying to tell us that West Virginia has the best offensive line in the Big 12, despite allowing the most sacks in the Big 12 last year. Hmm. So there's just no rhyme or reason in anything they say.
That kind of sounds like a metric that would indicate that they were the worst offensive line in the Big 12. I don't know. I'm not a mathematician.
While we're at it, another one I got a kick out of was bringing up what if Pitt had to play these Big 12 teams and naming Texas. And I was like 5-7 Texas, who lost to Kansas and was just terrible last year.
Speaking of that loss from Texas's loss to Kansas, did you guys pick up on the coaches poll, which came out today, being Monday, as opposed again to Wednesday when we release this, or Thursday, depending on when the Perfect Thursday guys can get us those audio files. Anyway, today, Monday, the coaches poll came out, and that was the same joke as last week. It was for you guys, a little continuity.
Keep going.
Yeah. Today, Monday. No. The coaches poll came out and Texas was ranked 18th, but had a first place vote. Do you know who that first place vote was from?
Kansas, right?
The head coach of Kansas. And I love that move. Having your program defining win. And then turning around the next season and saying like, actually, this is the best team in the country. And I love that move by Kansas. No notes. Perfect trolling.
If you're Kansas, you got to hang your hat on something. So
yeah, it's basketball, but you know, you need something here too.
Well, if we're going to mention Texas's ranking, I know we don't want to get too deep into this with the AP poll coming out next week, but Pitt is ranked 16th in the coaches poll. And where do you think Jeff Collins ranks Pitt?
42.
I bet they had to throw his ballot out because there were too many spelling errors.
Well, fair. 16 was just about perfect. I think we were all ready to complain and bitch up a storm. And then it came out and we were like, oh, that's probably exactly where they should be.
Oh, that's shockingly reasonable.
Right.
I think I started off thinking if we're in like the 15 to 16 to 17 range, I'll be happy. I'd be okay with that. And then over the past month, I talked myself into thinking we're being so disrespected, we'll probably be like 23. So when we actually were announced the 16, I was through the roof.
Honestly, if they put us any higher, I would almost bitch about that. Because like, oh, now we're setting these unbelievable expectations for Pitt after one season. Are you trying to mush us? That's what, like, if we were like 14, that's what I would say. I think 16 is perfect. I think 15 would be 125th better. I don't know the math on that one. Again, Dylan, you're our math guy. But I think 15 would be the ideal preseason ranking for Pitt. Anything two above or below, and you will be hearing from the loyal Suns.
I thought it was funny, too, that we were one spot behind USC and one spot ahead of Miami. It was just, I'm sure, completely ironic. But we'll see after week one where we land. If we go down and blow the Hoopies out on national TV, as much as it shouldn't matter that that game's played on national TV or that it's against a rival, we know how pools work and how pollsters work. And being the inaugural game on ESPN of the 2022 season, let's just say it sets Pitt up nicely. And then the Vols coming into town the next week. I don't want to say it, but we could be looking at a top 10 ranking come week three. I don't know. I didn't say it. It wasn't me.
You shut your mouth or you knock on wood right now. No, it's worth mentioning that if we are top 10, I imagine Tennessee is going to be ranked. I think they are going to be a much improved program this year. One, Mr. Hakeem Williams will be in attendance on an unofficial visit for that game. So we're talking about a game with just unbelievable implications, because what that would do, I mean, I want you to picture yourself, it's week 11 and the playoff rankings are coming out and the committee is talking about Pitt's huge out of conference win against number whatever Tennessee. And that's, you know, at this point, Hakeem Williams is already, you know, donning his Pitt apparel, has already picked the Pitt hat off the table, whatever. And you know, just a massive matchup in the brewing. Whatever. I've had a couple ranch waters today.
I mean, that all sounds good to me. I just go ahead and do it. I think what we're getting to is that Tennessee game is just potentially a program changing game, but we got to get to it first. So
I can't use any brain power on anything that isn't the backyard brawl right now. So no. let's not try to.
No, this is bad. I was really hoping on vacation I could get a break from like thinking about college football, because right now all of the preseason content is so repetitive. I could probably like close my eyes, and if you named a Power 5 program, I could give a 15-second spiel that is identical to what any college football analyst is going to say talking about them. Like that sound bite, it's just gotten to be too much. I need games to start.
Can we add another funny note? We talked a little bit about the craziness of message boards spreading crazy rumors. Like one person sees Caden Slovis sit on a cart, and before you know it, he was hurt and being carted off the field. Here's a funny message board post from one of our favorite Twitter accounts, Message Board Geniuses. This one from earsports.com, West Virginia.
Ears as in mountain?
Ears, yes.
Yeah.
Mountain ears. So this is from Dickie Leftridge. He said, early return from fall camp is not good. The O-line still can't figure it out. Secondary was unable to click with so many new faces. Daniels looks okay, but not like a world beater. So usually you have all the message board preseason hype through the roof. Everyone's saying this guy is going to be the best player and all this and that. With no justification.
22 All-Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not down in Morgantown. Apparently they're being slowly brought down to earth.
Dickie Leftridge sounds like a left-handed pitcher who played for the White Sox in the 1940s.
Old Tungsten Arm Williams from the Akron Groomsmen. No, well, look on the bright side. That isn't going to affect the outlook of West Virginia fans because none of them can read. So it's perfect.
All right, now we're going to try something a little bit different, something a little bit new. This is the Loyal Sun Stock Exchange. We're going to pick pit players, decide how much money we want to, how much stock we want to invest in them, and we're going to track it throughout the season. Disclaimer, we have zero idea on how we're going to track this, have no plan for this. So if anyone has any ideas, shoot them our way. But I think we can have a general idea week to week if our stocks are up or down.
I'm going to be rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, ideally, I'll just be rich because all the players are great.
Can we invest Loyal Suns points in players? Is that going to be our currency here?
I was going to say we just redistribute all the money PSN is giving us, and we try to turn a profit that way.
And gamble with it? Oh.
Yeah.
We could do that. I think you can also short other teams' players if we want to do something like that. You know, short JT Daniels because he's going to suck. Something like that.
I mean, I will figuratively short him. I will also literally short him because I think Ahaba is going to take off both of his legs, which will make him physically shorter.
Perfect. Okay, so I don't know how we want to get started here. Squid, you got someone in mind? Where's the money going?
All right. So this is probably a trendy pick, but I still think that I'm getting in early enough to where I can turn a pretty big profit. So I'm going to put I'm going to invest $1 million Loyal Suns points on Bub Means.
Wow.
I think when he first came, we thought this would be a boom or bust guy. But now that he's here, you hear the coaches talking about him a little bit more. And they seem to be impressed. And the way they're talking about him makes it seem like he is in that rotation. And he's not just splitting time with the fourth or fifth guy. He might have a leg up on the fourth or fifth guy on the depth chart. So I would not be surprised if he is number three guy on the depth chart and gets a lot of action based on his skill set. So I'm all in on Jared Wayne and Kanata Mountfield, but now I'm also very in on Bub Means.
See, I think Bub Means is a good pick. I think you would have really hit the jackpot if you would have invested in him 2 weeks ago, like if we would have thought of this before today.
Yeah.
I think his stock has gone up because people have seen him in practice and are like, wow, he's 6'2", 215, runs like a gazelle, and had one of the best interviews of camp so far. So
I think it's electric. We need him on.
100%.
No cap.
He dropped no cap like 20 times in his 3.5-minute interview, but he was awesome. And I think you're still going to end up with a profit on this one, no doubt. But his stock is rising. His stock is definitely rising.
Absolutely. No, that's a good one. Peek tweeted out that video of him catching, I think it was a slant or a cross. I don't know. Someone's going to have to explain the route tree to us. But he looks good.
David's about 5'6". What are we drinking tonight? What are we drinking at the beach today?
It's ranch water.
It was ranch water.
A lot of tequila.
Gotcha.
I also had a migraine earlier, which was fun. But that also has the impact of, let's call, like 6 to 12 beers. So we're working with the deficit right now.
Everyone says invest while you're drunk. I've always heard that. So
yeah.
So who you got? I'll let you go.
I'm gonna go with Carter Warren. I think this one is a little bit easier to prove ROI. So my rationale is that he's gotten a lot of gas as like a leader of that offensive line unit. We've heard a lot about him really being a ride or die locker room dude. And overall, he's just a dog. He's the highest rated offensive lineman at Pitt in terms of draft expectation and rankings on the draft board. He has the potential to be a day two guy. And I think he can really raise that stock. But as a locker room guy, as an emotional personality on the team, and as just a vicious junkyard dog, I love Carter Warren to explode on the scene this year.
I think that's a pretty safe pick, too. Probably not going to go broke making a profit with Carter Warren. I can't imagine he'll do anything that would hurt his stock. So I agree. He probably could be on an NFL roster right now if he wanted to. But instead, he came back to run it back and go back-to-back as ACC champs. I like the pick.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to go with a guy who I've had stock in even before the game was invented. Rodney Hammond. I hold a ton of Rodney Hammond stock. I've said it before. I think there's going to be a point in the season where he is the number one tailback. As it's more of a bold prediction. You know, I think Izzy's going to be the guy, but running backs get dinged up. I think there's going to be some games where Rodney Hammond's the hot hand. And just something about him last year as a true freshman coming in, not being scared of the moment against Clemson and some of the other games. And just, he just looks like such a natural running back. There's something to be said about Izzy, who is just an absolute freak of nature and can outrun everyone. But Rodney Hammond, who was listed at about a buck 80 last year, just running through defenders, bouncing off guys, pushing forward, getting the first down. And then to be in the ACC championship, playing significant, you know, early in the first quarter, scoring a touchdown, even though it was a room service walk-in touchdown on the swing pass. I think he's going to be special for Pitt. And I think right now, you know, people know of Rodney Hammond around Pitt, around probably a little bit around the ACC, but I think he's going to really make a name for himself nationally this year, whether that is, you know, an all ACC guy or just the, you know, the Thunder, the Izzy's Lightning or whatever you want to be. They could probably both play either role. I'm all in on Rodney Hammond.
I think it'll be extra impactful for him because he's in a new scheme that values running the ball a little bit more, and there's a little bit more structure to the run game, because he can do it all. He can be a power guy and he can run to the outside. Last year, I don't know what our run game was. It was just kind of snap at the Kenny the shotgun and turn and go. So I think Cignetti will get a little bit more creative in the run game and unleash Rodney Hammond.
Certainly, yeah. Before we get into like guys we're gonna short, no Panthers, of course, and you know, any honorable mentions. Can we talk about how rich we would all be if we were able to buy actual stock in Kenny Pickett? I don't think people understand, because we've only been doing this pod for a year, and we came in real high on Kenny last year, but we've been talking him up as the prince who was promised. Since he was a sophomore and only posting a 13-9, you know, ratio every year, we have been so high on him since his stock would have been pennies on the dollar. And I mean, I'd be buying this beach house right now if we were able to actually monetize that in some capacity.
Put this on Instagram in 2019. So
think buying Bitcoin in like 2012. That's what that would have been. Only Bitcoin never had its recent crash, if it just stayed at its all-time peak, because that's where Kenny is right now.
If Bitcoin won 10 Super Bowls with the Pittsburgh Steelers, yeah.
Correct.
And never went down, just continued to be the greatest at what it does in, you know, the history of whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, so I think that's why this game makes fun, and hopefully we can be rich in this fake currency.
So. Yeah. Carter Warren is going to make me a made man. But is there anyone you guys were mulling around but didn't want to fully commit to?
There's definitely a few guys out there. One I was going to throw out, and I think only because I watched his interview from training camp today, was Sebo Flemister. I thought he was a guy who had pretty much no chance of playing this year. He was just someone they brought in because they needed a fifth running back. And that may still be the case, but he seems very professional. Obviously, he's spent 4 years at Notre Dame, so he's an experienced guy, has been around college football for a while. And I don't know. I watched some highlights when he got some meaningful carries for Notre Dame against Boston College, and he runs really hard, and he's just another guy who came to, he said he came to compete for carries he didn't want to come to a running back room that he was going to be the number one guy right away. He wanted to come compete and play with good backs. He said all the right things. So I think where I'm buying him, I don't foresee me taking a loss on, and there's a chance, there's a real boom there. You know, he'll have a game this year randomly in ACC play where he just has a goofy stat line where he runs like five carries, 95 yards, three touchdowns, something goofy like that. And I'll cash out that day.
Yeah. No, that's, I think that's a smart play. I love it.
I'll go with my two honorable mentions. One of them, not as much, but I think we're kind of sleeping on him a little bit. Brandon George, our good friend Elijah Zeiss brought him up as a guy he was looking out for. And that made me think, Brandon George has played a lot of football for Pitt. He might get overlooked because he plays the same position as Servasio Dennis. I don't know if Narduzzi will move him to the outside. I think he likes him in the middle. But I think he could be a real good like plug-in whenever Voss needs a breather guy, and he can just make plays. And the one who I actually want to sprinkle a good bit is Sean Fitzsimmons. Early reports on him are that he just looks like he belongs already. Will this pay off in a year? Probably not. He might play a little bit, but nothing crazy. I'm getting in now, so whenever he is like second or third team all ACC a year or two from now, I'll be that guy saying, yep, I'm a genius. I bought Google before it blew up.
A little buy and hold, like a little buy and hold.
Yep.
I'm actually same team, John. I'm gonna get way years out ahead of this one. Sean Fitzsimmons. I have heard nothing but the best things about him coming out of camp. A true freshman that might crack the deepest defensive line in college football at the defensive tackle spot. I think he is going to be an absolute monster for years to come for us. And he's a Whipple kid. I mean, you couldn't write a script like that. That is the perfect concoction for a player that, you know, Pitt fans fall in love with. So as I'm sitting here in the dying light and nobody can see me and I kind of look like I'm telling a ghost story.
I was going to say it's
around a campfire.
We've seen the whole sunset since this started.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's like you guys are here with me. It's a loyal Suns vacation. But yeah, Fitzsimmons, very high on. And if I have an honorable mention, I'm taking Che Nwabuko to the moon, to the absolute moon. He runs like a 4.3. He's one of the fastest humans in America, not just like college football players, but like humans, living humans. And I fail to imagine a scenario in which Frank Cignetti, who got a shout out by Aaron Rodgers on Part of My Take this week, won't figure out a way to get him involved early and often and use that speed. So I'm going to take two freshmen here.
Can't hurt. Little buy and hold strategy. I think both those guys will definitely end up being useful. Maybe not this year. You know, Shea's got some pretty good upperclassmen to battle for playing time, especially in that wide receiver room. But so does Sean Fitzsimmons.
None of them run a 10-second 100 meter, though.
While that's fair, I am a little less bullish on him than you are playing this year. You could be as fast as you want, but still got to throw on them pads and play football. But I'd love to see him. I'd love to see the jet sweep. Yeah. But I'm more so nothing against him. I'm thinking of how good our top five receivers are going to be. Mumfield, Wayne, Means, Barden, and Bradley. I mean, come on. It's an embarrassment of riches all over the field. And we're going to have an embarrassment of riches once we cash out these loyal Suns points.
What are you guys going to buy with all of this money we're about to make?
We're going to sponsor the stadium that Pitt will play at, whether it's on campus or we just take the naming rights from Akershire Stadium, just right from underneath them after like 6 weeks.
We're going to buy them out of like a 20-year contract.
Yes.
Yeah.
Loyal Suns Stadium.
That is so much cooler.
I can only imagine we would find a way to name it something funnier and probably less appropriate. we'll sleep on that one.
We got time. But yeah, is real quick, is there anyone you guys are fading across the college football landscape?
Quinn Ewers.
That's a good one. He is a lot of hype.
Just because I think Texas will just stink again. It's every year. It's every single year with them that they're back. And he's going to be their savior. I'm going to say they're not back this year. And Arch Manning's going to come in next year. And if Texas doesn't win 11 games this year and Arch Manning walks onto that campus next year, I can only imagine the Texas boosters who paid Arch Manning God knows what, how quickly they will be down, whatever the head coach, whether it's Sark or whoever is the coach there by the time Arch Manning steps on campus.
Or Brendan Marion.
Yeah, Brendan Marion, you know, whoever it may be. Those boosters will be down their throats about getting Arch Manning on the field.
Absolutely. No question.
I don't know if this is just wishful thinking or I actually am fading him for good reason, but Tyler Van Dyke, I think he's good, but I don't know if he's like top 10 in Heisman odds good. He had a great end of the season, but there's some tape out on him. Maybe
comes
back down to earth. He's got a new coordinator, new coach. Things might not be.
And Josh Gattis loves to run the ball.
Yeah. So you never know.
No, I agree with you completely. I mean, but it's like a very classic media formula of this guy was insane like the last 30% of the last year. So I'm just going to extrapolate that over like an entire year. And those are Heisman numbers. He's going to win a national championship. Someone who didn't even do that, who didn't even put up Tyler Van Dyke numbers in limited time last year, that has already been anointed as the prince who was promised. Mine is Caleb Williams. And that is not just out of like blind rage at the fact that, you know,
maybe a little bit
must not be named. Shut up. I looked back at Caleb Williams numbers last year and it was much less impressed than I expected to be. I think people really hopped on the storyline because you had Spencer Rattler, who was supposed to be all world and looked like dog shit through five games. And then Caleb Williams came back, sparked that huge comeback against 5-7 Texas. And then, put together a couple really serviceable games. And, you know, he had a couple games where he had like 400 yards, but he had even more games where he went like 11 for 18 for, you know, and they intentionally limited him and, you know, two touchdowns and just kind of pedestrian numbers. And I think he was really propped up by the storyline. And I think that's continuing now because, you know, how much has been, you know, much ado has been made about him and, the transfer following Lincoln Riley, the flashes he showed last year. And it's just no guarantee that that actually materializes into anything, especially when you consider the fact that his offensive line is certified bad at USC. So something to think about.
I thought about that as well briefly. It was a name that popped in my head, but I think the Pac-12 is just so bad that Lincoln Riley's going to walk in there, do his whole offensive whatever, and they'll be good. They won't make the playoff, but they'll be very good by default. They have some top transfers at a terrible conference. So I like the thought there. I couldn't pull the trigger because the Pac-12 stinks.
I think Utah's going to expose them unbelievably bad, but you know, we can discuss the Pac-12 in our Pac-12 side podcast.
Yeah, anytime we talk about things like Tyler Van Dyke and Caleb Williams, I just kind of in the back of my head hope there's no fans of those teams who get a hold of this and you know, screen record, clip this, tweet it out, and just give us the business in about 3 months. So
I have not been wrong on any prediction ever in my life, and I don't plan on being wrong at any point soon.
This
so
is
I'm
true.
Not worried about this coming back to biting us in the butt.
Before we get to our next segment, we wanted to take a moment to let our faithful listenership know that the Loyal Sun Show is currently in the market for additional sponsors for the 2022 season. If you or someone you know would be interested in having us promote your goods and or services to Panther Nation via this show and our social platforms, please reach out to us at loyalsonsemail@gmail.com. You can also DM us at The Loyal Sons on Twitter and Instagram. We are happy to provide data on our listenership, engagement, and impressions upon request. All ad revenue will go toward enhancing the quality of our show, increasing our efforts to promote the Pitt brand, and probably beer.
Hello there, everybody. Welcome back to Perfect Thursday, and we got some special guests here. The Loyal Sons, this is our first joint episode. Yes. We took the competition here in the city of Pittsburgh, and we said, you're either going to join us or we're going to have to take you down. The Loyal Sons said, well, I guess we'll come on for a joint episode. So thank you guys. Thank you guys for joining us.
This is actually all part of our master plan.
To take us over?
Yeah.
Which one of us is Kevin Durant, and which one of us is the Golden State Warriors?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know that either of us have a dynasty with the the listeners we get yet, but we're slowly building to something. I mean,
we're trying.
Separately, I think we'll always remain in the low leagues, but together, Barstool is in trouble. We're going straight for the big dogs. McAfee's in bad shape. Yeah. So what's up, fellas? How are you guys doing? This is your first time in the studio. I know we've talked about collaborating for a while now, but now we're here. So how are we feeling about being on?
You guys just started working with Pittsburgh Sports Now.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to us about that. How did that come up, and what do we have to look forward to?
It happened pretty quick, honestly. Yeah. Vuk over there, he sent us a DM on our account, basically said, you guys want to come and join us. They're looking to do some more content that's not all written, more podcasts, more video stuff. Mm-hmm. And we were like, hey, someone actually listens and wants to, thinks we're doing good work. So David talked to him and kind of went from there with it.
Yeah, it was a really competitive offer when you compare it to the $15 per 1,000 listens we get from the Anchor app. Yeah. So we were
Anchor app.
We
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is either. What is that?
It's just a medium through which, if you listen to our old episodes, I lead off with the ad, so telling on yourselves a little bit.
I mean, we're not known for homework.
It's two skips, the start of every Loyal Sons episode, but it's just a medium you can post podcasts for free, and if you do a 30-second spot for them anywhere in the episode, they will give you, like, pennies per episode.
Right, yeah.
And that was our major revenue source, so when Pittsburgh Sports Now came to us and was like, we will offer you more than like $1 an episode. We were like, yeah, let's talk with our lawyer. Okay, fine.
Right. Yeah. Listen, that's fantastic. I mean, so we're basically sitting with the SoundCloud rappers of podcasts right now is what we're
bottom,
at.
Literally the bottom, our microphones were falling apart. And just in the nick of time, PSN came in and let us get new microphones that actually have stands and work. So.
You guys got saved.
You guys started about a year ago, you said, right before the UMass game. So was that just you guys? Like, have you incorporated guests since then? And I apologize for not catching up with all your episodes. But
yeah, we try to have a guest pretty much each episode. It started out just DMing, like, anyone we could get in touch with. Elijah Zeiss, good friend of ours. So he's been on a few times.
He's our guy.
Ghost Sound's been on. Cage Gloop, he came on for us. Cage.
Yeah,
right.
People we knew and we could reach out to, but then we actually got really lucky. Sometimes you have to get lucky. And our boy Greg Rendine Consulting, he reached out and basically he liked the show. He listened a couple times and wanted to help us out. And we were able to get Jordan Addison on like the week before the Virginia game. And I think that was kind of a big boost for us. So.
There we go. What was the inspiration behind kind of getting involved with a podcast? I mean, did you just big fans of Pitt football, or is it something you always wanted to do?
Well,
big
back Pitt in 2018, guys. I think Dylan officially made our Twitter account, and it was basically like, we have all these Pitt memes, jokes, and thoughts.
Was that Capel Faithful?
It was Capel Faithful.
Yeah, yes. I remember
R.I.P.
That.
Wow.
I always wondered who that guy was.
I always, when these like fan accounts come up, I'm like, who is that running that? Like, what was it for Coach Whip last year? There was one, like a fake Whipple account.
Oh, yeah.
That one was hilarious.
Yeah,
too.
Now it's OC Signetti.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So we had that since 2018, and it was basically a spot to put all of our thoughts that weren't our personal account because there were so many, we would definitely just annoy people and get unfollowed by everybody.
Yeah.
And it grew and grew. We had a decent following, and then. We have a decent following. Let's just talk about Pitt because it's all we do anyway.
Yeah. I've loved the highlight videos that you guys have been posting every day just leading up to the season. Mm-hmm. It's pretty exciting to watch. So I think we got a lot of cool things to look forward to. I know us doing a joint episode has been something we've talked about. I think we've talked about it when I met you.
Yes.
Down at Tequila Cowboy. It was actually hilarious. You were with Cage that night, right?
He was Elijah. It was Elijah
okay.
And a couple of our
it's a foggy night, to say the least.
Well, no, right, it was Jake? Funny because we were at – I met him. He was actually not even in Tequila Cowboy. He was on the outside of it.
Oh, no, that was
– I think he had just gotten thrown out.
We're putting this together like a puzzle right now.
But he was standing like on the outdoor area just talking, yeah. And I was just – we were standing right by the fence. I was in. You were out. And, yeah, that was how
– Right.
Was that after the North Carolina game maybe?
Yeah. It was –
I was probably rightfully thrown out, but I was just hanging out, and I wasn't aggressive like everybody else gets thrown out at Tequila Cowboys. So
I mean, I've been thrown out.
It's a rite of passage.
I guess so.
I think there's one guy here who probably hasn't been thrown out.
I've never been thrown out of Tequila Cowboys.
I actually have also avoided it, and that's despite my girlfriend talking to a bartender there after the Steelers Denver game last year, and I was able to whisk her away before I would get the kicked out of me.
Yeah.
So we.
I mean, those bouncers are like ex-CIA. They're really.
Dude, it happens. For you it guys happens quick.
Well, actually, that night I did get thrown out. I was so well behaved outside, they let me back in. Which I know. The only time it ever happened in Tequila Cowboy history.
Yeah, that's
so
an
I
honor.
Rejoined the conversation. Yeah. We were probably talking smack on Penn State with our other buddies.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty typical. Yeah. So
you're in your element right now. You're like, Jake's like, let me tell you all the times I got kicked out.
I just, because I knew this was just going to be a couple guys just standing around just shooting the shit, and I've been really excited about it. So
the first time we met was there. The second time was also at Tequila Cowboy. But at that point, we were both
what is going on?
So I was like, hey, I don't know if you remember that time. I was the guy who got thrown out, and you did. And like, but we actually have a podcast now. We're the Loyal Sons guys.
Yeah.
So we should collab sometime.
No, yeah, I woke up the next morning. I had a couple text messages from this guy named Squid, and I was like, who the hell is that?
Squid from the Loyal Sons.
It's literally Squid Loyal Sons in my phone right now. So.
And Jake from Perfect Thursday are the reason that this collaboration is going down. Can we get a round of applause for that?
Thank you, guys.
TC, where deals get done.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at that.
The best thing to ever come out of Tequila Cowboy by a lot.
That's
I would agree with that. But, you know, not to be too high on Tequila Cowboy, we did forget to mention our sponsors, Brushes and Beans. Everybody, please go check out Brushes and Beans. They have been kind to us. We have big things in the works. This show is not possible without them. So if we fail, you guys can blame them. And if we do good, then we'll take most of that credit. But please check them out. Tell them the boys from Perfect Thursday sent you. Fellas, we know that last year was kind of a big year for Pitt football. What was it like from the outside looking in? We had Jake on the inside, and then we had me who just was – just missed that era, but from your perspective, what
you laid the foundation.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I mean, I certainly laid the foundation for him. Jake and I, before we get too into it, Jake and I were having a conversation. We're actually the same exact person, and everything that I did first, he copies me and
has done it way better.
Well, some would say. I mean, did you see our highlight tape? Did you guys see the highlight tape that got made for us?
Football one?
Yes. Did you watch that?
I did.
Listen, there were substantially more Jim Adore highlights than there was Jake Solinska's highlights. I don't know.
I mean, I had more first downs, but.
Yeah, that two versus one.
That's right. Double.
That's two times as many, but I mean.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Congratulations.
What did you ask these guys again?
I don't know. We just got on a tangent on about ourselves. What was it like watching the season last year, I think, is the original question.
Great. No, it was.
Sucked.
Better than anything I could have ever imagined.
Yeah.
I think there was a point for me after the game we don't speak of anymore.
What's that game?
We don't speak of it.
Okay, well, can you get – I need to
– MAC team, Hinesfield.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah. Okay.
So there was a point after that game where I was just so dejected. I'm like, maybe I need to pick up a new hobby. Like, stop following sports so closely. make it dictate my mood as much as it does. And then I was back on the horse next week. But it was roller coaster of emotions, and I can't even, if I would have mapped out like a perfect season before the season even started, it would have been basically pretty much what happened, yeah. Except a playoff appearance, maybe that. But even then, I don't even know if I would have shot that high.
I think it's crazy because if you're Alabama, you expect one every week. Because we're so used to being Pitt fans, we're kind of on edge every single game. Even like the Georgia Tech game, there were a little bit of worries. Even some of the Syracuse game was close for a minute. So the wins were always super satisfying, and watching Kenny Pickett was just the apex of my life.
He was very entertaining.
Yeah, I think
same
it was,
here.
It was just almost difficult last year because we're so snake bit as lifelong Pitt fans that we kept expecting, you know, the other shoe to drop. And we couldn't enjoy wins. And, you know, we look in hindsight and it's like, oh, we controlled the hell out of that team. We beat the shit out of this team. And, you know, in the moment, though, you're like shaking and convulsing. What can go wrong? Like, I was at the beach in Florida with my girlfriend and my best friend from college with the Duke game up on my phone. And I watched every second of that game that we won by 3 scores. Didn't lift my eyes to look at the sunset over the ocean.
Good.
Got absolutely chewed out later that night. Yeah, but it was because I could not get comfortable that this game was in hand, and that if I put my phone away, you know, I assumed Pitt would implode.
These are the diehard fans.
Yeah, this is what we're looking for.
Really, really love, and I hope to get to that level. Yeah, not that I'm not inside.
Well, yeah, what are you? Where are you now? Where are you?
Oh, I mean, I'm just as diehard, but I'm just saying. Like,
but you said you can't wait to get to that level. Yeah. So what are we waiting for?
What's it gonna take?
Well, I was a player last year. this is my first season being a fan. I got to get used to it.
I got you. So
were you a fan before you played for Pitt?
Or? Yeah. No, growing up, I was always a huge fan. Like the backyard brawls were like me and my dad would go to every game, every backyard brawl. So like it was huge for me to play for Pitt because it was like. It was like my dad's dream. It was my dream. And like to be able to do that was like really cool. So, yeah, I know what it all is about being a Pitt fan. And, you know, I think, you know, being able to be a part of that too was a really cool experience.
Absolutely. I mean, growing up, I grew up in Newcastle. So Jake and I come from like the boroughs around Pittsburgh, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you'd consider that Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm like an hour away, 724 number. So I don't really count.
You get to claim Western PA.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the Whippeal.
We're Whippeal kids. And, you know, that was like a dream of ours. And we got there in, you know, probably a different fashion than you would probably would like to get there. But, I mean, we had our time. We did our thing.
Yeah.
And now we're here filming this podcast.
So to follow up, you were both very big Pitt fans growing up. You made it to Pitt. Did you ever want to transfer for more playing time or anything like that?
No. I mean, you didn't start at Pitt, though, Jake.
I was a JV Division III quarterback to start out.
That's awesome.
I was at John Carroll, which is actually a really amazing place.
Cleveland, right?
Yeah, Cleveland, yep. University Heights. I think the year I was there, we actually made it to the semifinals of the playoffs. So, like, we had a really good team, had a couple guys who actually got some NFL shots, which is insane.
Right,
So I left there just purely because I always wanted to go to Pitt, and, it was a good opportunity, but, like, I was just like, damn, like, I should just go walk on. Like, who cares what happens? So I think, like, once I got there, I mean, it was just – I was cool, like, if I just played special teams, like, whatever happened. I was lucky enough to be able to play some offense, but, like, you know, to get a scholarship eventually, like it was definitely the right decision. And yeah, I never thought of going anywhere else after that.
All right. Well, follow up based off of that, because we heard a story from a source who remain unnamed. Was there ever a time that a Pitt coach did think you were going to transfer?
Oh my. Wow. Look at this getting cold.
You did your homework. Source.
What's that guy on TikTok that like, interviews the rappers and he knows things that he shouldn't know? That's what just happened to Jake.
No, this is actually hilarious. Yeah. So there is, I'm not going to name his name. There was another player with a name that was very similar to my last name. And so I guess he was kind of, their word got out that like they were down at some coaches convention and they heard that there was a quarterback with this name that was like looking to transfer. And like the coach down there was like, what? And like, he went back and told Coach Narduzzi. And so like, I'm in the lunchroom one day and Narduzzi comes up and like points me in the back. Like, he's like, I need to talk to you. I'm like, what? And we went into the other room and he's like, I heard you're shopping around. And like, I had no idea what he was talking about. So like, he was kind of giving it to me for like 30, 45 seconds. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then eventually I just told him, like, yo, that's the other guy. And then that was it. And then he was like, oh, we're good. He just fist bumped and walked out.
Classic.
So he just like ripped into me, like thinking I was transferring for like a whole minute. And I was just like, what is going on?
I can't believe they knew that. Who's leaking that?
Yeah, where did you?
We've got sources. Hashtag sources.
You guys do have
that has
sources.
Cage this written is, all over it.
This is a legitimate podcast here. They're getting leaks and everything.
Yeah.
Well, we don't leak sources, or nobody should leak sources. We don't use sources and deliver news anymore because we got burnt pretty bad last year. So
what happened?
We said something about a potential coach taking another job. I do want to say, like, preface this with, it was tweeted at a Christmas holiday party. We were all with a beer truck, and like 10 minutes after it was sent, like, Squid was like backwards on a mechanical bull. So we weren't in the best state of mind to be breaking news. No. But it blew up a little quicker. I think these two handled it in the morning. I was still asleep.
You were. I was trying to wake you up. We're Dylan and I are roommates. But yeah, we actually got a direct message from that coach, pretty upset, and we sent him like a very heartfelt apology. We were like, I'm so sorry, you mean very much to this program. We were not trying to talk about, you know, another man's job or whatever. We heard this, someone we trusted, do not trust anymore. And it kind of all got put to bed. We apologized, you know, tails tucked between our legs.
I mean, here's the thing though, like, that is the clown show operation that we like looked at as players and just thought, like, where are they getting this from? And yeah, now we're like on the other side and we're like, oh, this is where it comes from. But yeah, that, yeah, you got to be careful because the amount of things that fly around, like, gossip wise, mm-hmm, 90% of it, 90% of the sources have no idea what they're talking about. They just heard it through somebody and it, you know, fell through the grapevine. And
so you've, like, been on the lair. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, of course. It's been unbelievable. Wait, what I've been on the what?
Panther lair.
What's that? Is that another site? Yeah. What?
It's Chris Peek's rival syndicate.
Oh, yeah.
The message.
It's like the YouTube channel where they post all the practice.
Yes, I know.
Snippets and stuff like
that. I know and knew what Panther Lair was. Whoever's listening, I do know. But what is that? What does that do?
It's like a message board.
Is it bad? Yeah. Is it no good?
Well, it's entertaining.
Are we speaking positively or negatively about this?
Oh, it's a great resource. It's just,
yeah, the Panther Lair guys put out a great product. It's just, you know, then you have Pit fans in the comment section, which is where it, you know, comes off the rails.
Oh, I see.
We need to get active in there.
So Narduzzi needs fired, like, after every quarter.
Yeah, joke fest.
Yeah, everything. It's every possible.
That's, yeah.
Every recruit that doesn't pick us got offered a bag. My cousin heard about it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. One of those situations.
Yeah.
That's, I never, like, as a player, you pay little attention to that stuff. And then, like, after the fact, you kind of get thrown into that world because you want to stay involved with the program, but you're obviously not on the inside of it anymore. So you just hear stuff and you kind of, like, for me at least, I don't know how you felt about this when you were done playing. Like, I was shocked at the things I would hear. And I'd just be like, that's so off base for, like, insert player or coach you're talking about here. Like, they just have no clue what they're talking about. So when you guys read that as, like, fans, how emotional do you get about stuff like that? And how do you navigate through, like, what to believe and what not to believe on the web?
I think we're pretty good at weeding out, like, most of it is just idiot.
I, like, mean, apparently not, though. The Christmas fiasco of 2019, you guys are lying.
To be fair, that didn't come directly from the lair. That came from somewhere else. But all that being said, I don't know. It's just like the internet in general. Like 90% of
it's always going to be like
terrible.
That. I mean, right. I think people just get excited and want to, you know, break the news. And then, you know, you have random accounts that just say crazy.
Right.
People quote tweet it and think it's real, and it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's just part of it. Kind of makes it exciting.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that. I don't know. I never take anything I read, like, in the replies as fact, but it can impact your baseline mood a little bit. Like, I was reading about all the recruits that we aren't going to get this year, and that's just, you know, Pitt fans, you know, woe is me. Mm-hmm. Pitt's just going to go back to a 5-win team. We can't recruit. We can't do this.
We got the guy who's a 5.6 on Rivals instead of a 5.7.
Exactly.
So, yeah. so the sky is falling.
I'm so out of the recruiting game. Even in high school, I knew nothing about recruiting because you came from a small school too, right?
Yeah, I like when I was in high school, I would look at all like the WIPIO insider stuff. I would know like everyone who was from what school, where they were going, even like a little bit into college. And then probably like year two, I like stopped. And then like now I have no clue anybody is.
So. WIPIO insider was classic in high school. Like that's all we did. After games on Friday nights, I would literally go on Twitter just to check what he was saying about.
Jim was probably searching his own name like.
Yeah, right. Yeah, nothing came up though. I mean, like I said, wasn't too much of a resume there.
Yeah,
we actually had Carlo on recently, and he ran that account.
Right,
parlayed it into a job at Pitt, which is sweet.
Carlo's the man.
Carlo's the man, and yeah, he works incredibly hard. And yeah. I think he's a super talented
guy. I think he's one of the best at what he does, especially in this area, if not the country. So shout out Carlo.
Yeah, shout out Carlo. We'll clip that.
We'll give him a little love.
Yeah.
So you guys. Are obviously excited coming into this year. What are some of the highlights you're looking at? What are the areas that you're nervous about, you know, as fans?
Nothing.
Nervous? I'm a Pitt fan. I've been watching Pitt my whole life, so I'm nervous about everything. But I definitely have high expectations just because they're bringing a lot back.
Yeah.
You know, losing Kenny, losing Addison hurts, but the guys they brought in to fill that those holes.
Yeah,
I mean, I want to go back to the ACC championship. I want to be in Charlotte in December.
I think Monkfield looks awesome. I haven't seen anything above Means, but he just looks like a freak athlete. So I think the receiver room is going to be A-okay.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Do you guys usually fight on air? Do you guys have like back and forth?
He's usually the voice of reason. He'll actually bring up some. He'll bring us back down to earth. Me and Dylan are go hung ho big. Well, actually, what if this isn't all good? And we get mad at him, but at the end of the day, we know he has.
Tough losses happen in the season. I mean, you got to understand, like, football is a game of any given Sunday. I know it's a cliche thing to say about the sport in general, but, like, there is very small levels of distinction between the I guess when you get to the Division I level, and there's a gap between D1 AA and D1 single A, or whatever the hell the distinction is between the two. But the talent level is performing at such a high area all the time that if you're even making slight mistakes, it opens the door for a team and they'll take advantage of it every time.
So we know what it's like in the stands when a horrible loss like that happens. What's it like in the locker room after? Is it quiet? Are guys yelling at each other?
No, the difference. No, it's never really like there's never beef or like any like drama or anything like that. I mean, I'm sure that sometimes like things are said, but for the most part, like the difference between winning and losing in the locker room and at the Sunday at the facility the day after is massive. Like when you lose, it is just horrendous. Like no one's in a good mood. Like, I mean, it's obviously you're excited to get back to work, but winning and losing is everything.
It's your livelihood for a multitude of reasons. Like it's what you're going to school to, you know, you're getting paid to do it. And now, especially with NIL, I mean, it's legitimately your livelihood. So it hits the players and the coaches harder than it will ever hit a fan. Like, you know, a fan's going to wake up and go to work. You may feel like bad about it, but like that you lost, you know, when you do a poor performance in work, you probably feel bad than like someone else that's just watching you do your work. If anyone's watching you do your work. So it's the same thing with like athletes, just on the biggest and grandest stage you can imagine.
Yeah. And for coaches, I mean, they have families, like they have mouths to feed, and like, you know, you don't put up good records, eventually you get fired. It's like,
all right,
that's their lives that they're thinking about. So we at least when we were there, like we took losses very hard.
That's why the Loyal Sons are getting chewed out when they're spreading rumors about coaches leaving. I mean, they're getting chewed out for that.
Yeah,
it means a lot to them.
Are you guys are you from Western PA?
Yeah, we're all North Hills guys.
North Hills.
So you guys all, do you guys all go to the same high school?
North Hills, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
If you go to North Hills, this is the exact conversation you have every time. Like, yeah, I'm from North Hills. Oh, what school?
North Hills.
People don't realize that there is a school district. The one that houses Ross Park Mall is how everyone kind of remembers it.
Okay.
Yeah. That's us.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. What led you guys to Pitt then? You guys were just big fans and then obviously came to campus, or did you not become fans until you got to campus?
So we all have different stories. He never made it to Pitt.
Oh no! So you're an outsider then? Oh boy!
So I grew up in a big Pitt family.
Okay.
I went to Ohio University. No offense against, you know, the University of Pittsburgh. I was just looking for like a college town as opposed to like a college city.
Right.
And there's almost nothing in this world I love more than college football. So Pitt just kind of became the object of those affections. So I got really into it. I mean, I grew up going to all the games. My one of my first memories is 2003 Pitt beating number 5 Virginia Tech. So, you know, it's just been a part of my life.
Yeah, I've born and raised in Pittsburgh, obviously, and I knew I was going to go to Pitt, but I did not get into Pitt, Maine. So I went to Pitt Johnstown. I was going to go there for a year and get out, but I was fortunate enough to be a Division II college athlete and ran track and cross country there.
There we go.
And, there we go. Let's go.
That amazing sport that is so much fun kept me around for 4 years, but
yeah,
always made the trips in for Saturdays and all the games.
Probably the best athlete at the stable, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I'm going to say, let's all race after this. would you run in did you do the cross country?
Yeah, 1 mile, 2 mile, 5K.
Yeah,
so
yeah, no, there's no way.
No chance.
I don't think I've ran more than a mile straight ever.
Well, those days are long gone.
Yeah. And I don't know if I could run right now.
You've never run a mile straight?
No, I have ran a mile, but not over that. I've always capped it at a mile.
Okay, so you've
been smart. Division I athlete. Yeah.
But I don't run distance.
Distance is different. Yeah, we rarely.
Like, the longest we ran, like, workout-wise was 80 yards.
Yeah, that's probably it.
I'm guessing you guys did sprints.
Yeah, it was more sprints. Like, the 80-yard runs were, like, tempo runs, so, like, that was all for, like, conditioning.
What's the average time of a football play? 8 seconds?
6 seconds.
6 seconds. So you figure, like, you gotta have 6 second increments of extreme bursts of speed, and then you rest for another 8 seconds, and then you're doing it again. That's like how football trains.
That's how, like, the training is.
I'm not gonna say we didn't respect how athletic football players were, how in shape they were, but we had a Turkey Bowl 1 year. All three of us were in it, and we just played like 60 minutes, no pass.
11-on-11.
11-on-11.
Like
full,
tackle?
Full offensive lines, yeah.
And the next day, none of us could walk. And right, how do you guys do this like 16 times a year?
I have no idea, honestly. Yeah. It's like, because you get real sore like starting out, and then like I think you just get numb to it. Like you just have to understand that you're going to be in pain. Like, after the first 2 days of camp, like, your body will never be the same the rest of the year.
My neck, I used to have, like, trouble turning my neck after the first day of full pads because we would just, I mean, we'd go at it.
Yeah.
And that next, there's nothing worse than that first day after full pads. Really the third day, because you do the first day, you're like, okay, I know it's going to suck. Second day, you fight through the pain, but then that third day I feel like is the worst. Oh. And then it turns, and then you just become numb to it. But that third day is like when you wake up and it's 5:30 in the morning and you're like, I'm being tested.
Yeah.
And I gotta either rise or fall right now. That's the truth.
So as walk-ons in camp, are you like battering rams or?
I mean, maybe Jake was.
There was one drill that I did where it was like when I first started out. I was a quarterback at the time, and it was a defensive line drill. There was an offensive line, but the offensive line was other defensive lines, and I was playing quarterback, and I had the ball. I wasn't allowed to leave the pocket, and I wasn't allowed to throw, so I was just, like, maneuvering as they were, like, sacking.
That is just a bad drill.
That was the worst drill I've ever done. But other than that, no, not really.
Yeah, so I do think Pitt does a good chance of giving everybody an equal and fair shot to show, you know, what you're made of. I mean, obviously, scholarship guys anywhere across the country are going to get the nod because they were recruited there to do a certain job, whatever it is. But, like, you know, I remember when I was there, Salim and McKee and I, we would do all the same, you know, cut drills and give the same looks on scout defense. So I think Pitt does a good job of giving everyone an equal shot. I didn't, like, feel like I was ever separate from the team, if that makes sense, because I was a walk-on.
Yeah, there's never a feeling where you're like, this is bullshit. Like, they treat the walk-ons really, really well. And, everyone gets their fair shot.
I mean, the first year I played, I was still a walk-on. Like, I was playing on the field on special teams and even seeing a couple defensive reps, and I was still a walk-on, so... It's interesting.
How did you feel about that? Did you just feel like you were ready?
I mean, like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You just got to go in and do your work. So, like, I didn't feel nervous about it. I did feel ready, but, you know, I was, like, still hungry to get a scholarship. So, I was never stop earning it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it like when that did happen?
It was cool.
Dude, it was awesome. That's, like, I don't know. You want
to? When I got my scholarship, Mike Caprera, I'm a huge Batman fan. I don't know if you guys, like, know about
I'm
that.
I'm aware.
Yeah, so Mike Caprera was wearing my Batman suit that I had at the time, and it was, like, really a cool moment because, like, you know, I had no idea it was coming. They were playing like a Batman thing. And then, like, as I say it, it sounds really dumb because, like, why are we talking about Batman right now? But
in that's your thing.
That's my thing. That'll always be my thing. So maybe it's not really dumb, but it was.
It was awesome.
We're gonna revisit the fact that you just had a full Batman suit.
I do,
dude. You got to see.
Have you not seen the full Batman suit? I'll show you guys after we're done.
Yeah,
filming.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's legit.
Ridiculous. It's legit. It is ridiculous.
We made a short film. Peter's not editing right now, but we did. Peter out there directed a short film with it. We'll show you guys.
Yeah, that's all you got. Superman punching all those guys, throwing them.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on now, it's legit.
I love. When's the next one?
Well, we're working on it. It's not easy to make a movie. You got to get funding. Well, and by funding, I mean I got to save up a couple paychecks.
Well, if you need some extras, I'll do it. I'm sure the Loyal Sons would be doing it.
That'd be a good. That's the real collaboration that people want to see. The Perfect Thursday Productions putting out a Batman sequel.
We can just remake the scene from Dark Knight where, like, Bane?
Yeah,
Bane blows up Heinz Field.
Oh, that'd be a good one. Yeah, blows we could probably sure. Yeah, a creature.
I'm going to call it a creature. I don't know.
That's a bad move. Heinz to do that.
Yeah, how do you guys feel about that?
I saw a picture of the inside of the stadium. I think it was today, actually, on social media without the ketchup bottles and the new branding. And
yeah, that sucks.
I just got sad.
You know what? I'm changing my opinion. I'm excited for a creature to be taken over.
Well, I mean, they're spending three times as much, so like they better put three times as much into it. Like, I want like a slide.
Did you just threaten a creature?
You know what? I'll say this.
I don't think they're going to be offended about me saying anything.
If they're going to say shorter beer lines. If they have shorter beer lines in Heinz Crazier Stadium, I'll be okay.
Maybe some Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi,
more beer. I really like, there's like the baseball park in Florida where they have like a little water park in the back.
You like, want to put a water park
in
Heinzville?
Yes.
Where would you put it?
I don't know.
That's going to go over great whenever we're playing like
just something like
a 30-degree game.
We need a roller coaster that does a loop right over the stadium.
Yeah.
And it runs the whole time. What do you think that would be?
Phantom's Revenge, or what could we call it?
Can we extend the track from Kennywood all the way to Heinz? I don't know. We'd have to talk to someone about that.
I just want a Kenny Pickett statue. Solid gold. That's the thing.
Yeah, we'll get money.
Yeah.
We could probably figure that out. Perfect Thursday funded Kenny Pickett statue.
I'm sure we could afford it.
It'd be a miniature, and it would not leave the studio, but it would be something.
It would just be on our desks.
Yeah. It could work out. So, Loyal Sons, you guys obviously are some of the biggest Pitt fans we know. What is your prediction for this season coming up? What do you guys think about it? Are you guys just too nervous to even think? You guys seem like nervous Pitt fans.
Yeah.
Are you guys nervous?
You guys nervous? Do we need to take a break?
For what?
Not the backyard brawl. We're very confident. No. We take care of West Virginia.
Beat the hell out of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tennessee. That'll be a good game. It'll be a shootout. We'll win.
Home game.
You realize our defense is loaded. Our like Pitt's defense is going to be an absolute force. They're bringing back basically everybody.
I can't tell if we're more nervous or if we've all just realized that a month out we haven't actually thought about like putting a number to the record.
Yeah.
Do you think you just have super high expectations now, and that's what like? Are you nervous about it not being the same as last year?
Yeah, I mean, if Pitt would have went 9-3 last year, 8-4, I mean, I probably would have been disappointed. But if that happened this year, like, I'm going to be distraught.
Really?
I want to go back to Charlotte. I want to get down there.
You have higher expectations this year than you did for last year with Kenny coming back?
Yeah, just because we've been there. Okay. I felt like seeing them actually lift the ACC Championship trophy, being down there for it was awesome. It was like, wow, Pitt football can actually get to that apex and see them playing a New Year's Six Bowl. I had lost some hope on ever seeing them reach that level for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I think something that fans don't realize often is like when you look at records, even the past records back when I was playing, we lost games by margins of 3 points or one touchdown. Probably there might be an occasional loss where it was a blowout, but I mean, it was a close game every week. And like we were saying with the MAC team that we lost to last year, like it is literally a game of inches. It's a game that can be decided in a matter of a play. So those losses are often decided by one play at a time, and it's unfortunate, but that's just the way business goes.
Well, you both would have been on the team that beat Clemson.
Yeah, but we weren't playing at that point.
Oh, God.
Were you
in 2016?
Were you on that
No,
team?
I was at John Carroll.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was running.
That was the same night that John Carroll beat Mount Union. It was on SportsCenter.
There you go.
Old D3 ball.
So it was upsets all over the place.
Dude, it was nuts. We got home from the Mount Union game, and Pitt I like literally saw the last 4 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
But you were there losing my shit.
You were there for the Miami game in 2017, right?
So
you,
I was there. Yeah, I was calling the signals in. I had the headset on.
Well, you did great. We won.
Yeah, good job. You did it.
Thank you.
It was your doing that.
Yeah, no, that was sick. That was an interesting game because like, it was a weird feeling going into it because we already knew our season was done.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had no chance at a bowl game. So like going into that, it was just like, I mean.
And the emptiest stadium I have ever seen in my entire life.
It was very empty.
Well, it was Thanksgiving, so students weren't there. Also, shout out Pitt Student Section. They've been unbelievable the last couple of years. But there was nobody there. I mean, it was like friends and family, and Kenny just went in and I think really, you know, gave the team a spark, and it was, I mean, everyone rallied behind it.
How early did you think Pitt's going to win?
Dude, I had a weird feeling going into it. I don't know why. Yeah. I just had this like really, really strange feeling that like I was like, because like we knew Kenny really well. He just kind of always had that mentality.
Kenny's
like,
a gamer.
When he was talking about it, like the week leading up to it, it was just like I had this weird feeling. I was like, dude, I just think we're gonna win. And then like starting out, I mean, that was a sick game. I think we had a fumble that I was like, oh shoot. And then after that, we just kind of responded.
We had a really good week of practice. So I remember if you remember that week of practice, but we really got after it. I felt like that was our strongest week of practice that whole season. And obviously, you know, showed for it in a game.
So was Kenny a guy you said, you know, just kind of a gamer? You saw, you saw the confidence in him. Did people in the locker room already know, like, we have a guy here? Yeah. He's going to be the quarterback the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I remember like the first throwing session, just like how seriously he took it and how seriously he took like the preparation and like everything that goes in, like the hours and hours that goes into actually being ready for a game that like people don't think about. Like he just always had that like on lock. And I think his mentality, like he was just always a really mature guy and like the confidence was just always there.
Absolutely.
So given everything that you know about Kenny, how many Super Bowls do you think he's going to win?
Unlimited.
10.
Unlimited.
That's what I've been telling people. Yeah. The smartest we've ever looked is we've been on that even before we had a show. We've been on the Kenny Pickett is secretly the greatest quarterback alive bandwagon for years. Yeah. And he was posting like 13 touchdowns, 9 picks every year. But we would go back and watch the games and count how many times like there was an interception off of a receiver's hands, how many drop touchdowns, how many times a wide receiver went to, present company excluded. Yeah. You guys were great. But how, like, just trying to kind of calculate, you know, how little help it seemed like he was getting. And we were like, no, he's secretly great. He is secretly great. And then he came out and had the greatest single season of an ACC quarterback in history.
Yeah. The last 3 years, I like to mess around and Photoshop in my free time. So I'd always Photoshop a Sports Illustrated cover. It'd be the same template as the college football preview for each season, but I'd put Pickett on it. And I'd make like little mock headlines in the corner, and it would always be why Kenny Pickett is better than Trevor Lawrence, why teams are tanking for Kenny Pickett, and all this about Pitt. I'd have Pitt.
James Franklin eats his own toenails, something like that.
Not quite that far, but
it's pretty creative.
We'd always throw in a slight jab.
Is that more loyal sons? More loyal sons gossip coming out of.
We don't break news anymore, but yes.
If there's any coach in America that would eat his own toenails, I feel like it'd be James Franklin.
Well, that's a scuzzy thing to say.
The grosser it is.
But anyway, people would like laugh. They're like, oh, this is funny that you think Kenny Pickett is this good. And then if you look back at it now, it's like, wow, was I just seeing the future?
There was a veil of sincerity.
There was.
Yeah.
That's why I did it.
Listen, we could sit here all day, talk about Pitt football, and I'm excited to do that eventually again once the season gets rolling. But we are running out of time here. So, you know, usually we end the episodes by asking you guys, you know, who helped who more. It's, I don't know. I can't even remember the real format. I just want to know, when you guys were cheering for Jake and I when we strapped up the old blue and gold, who'd you enjoy watching more, if you even remember?
Did you notice either of us?
Actually, better question. What was our numbers? Go right now. Tell us.
41.
Yep. Yeah. 81.
There we go. So we do have good fans.
Those are some loyal sons.
Those are some loyal sons.
That's awesome.
That's a great way to end.
Yeah. Thank you guys for coming on.
Absolutely.
Join episodes. Yeah. Thank you for having us as well.
Please. We'll give you guys the last word. Plug whatever you need.
Honestly, we're just looking forward to having you guys tailgating on the outside this year. Backyard brawl. Ready for the backyard brawl.
Come on by.
We got something very special. We got something very special planned for that. So maybe you guys come on by.
we have a tailgate situation that maybe involves our sponsor, maybe involves some merch, maybe involves like a lot of different things going on. So if you guys want to be
a couple familiar faces being around too, so it'll be a good time.
We'll have our people talk to your people.
Just reach out, just send us the money for this episode that you owe us as well. Where it began,
I can't begin to know. Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Loyal Son Show. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating, subscribe to us anywhere you get your podcasts, follow us on Twitter at The Loyal Sons, subscribe to Pittsburgh Sports Live on YouTube, that's our partner Pittsburgh Sports Now's YouTube channel. You don't want to miss any of the video content we've got coming out, and if you subscribe, that way you'll never miss it. Make sure to tune in to future episodes as we work through this camp season. We'll be talking to players, former players, people associated with the program, and a whole bunch of people who love Pitt as we count down the days to the backyard brawl on September 1st. As always, hail Loyal Sons of Pittsburgh.